get ready. I preach like I'm at home. So put on your safety belts. Remove your shoes. This morning I came with our pastors, Pastor Luwani, Jenny, Pastor Almina, Pastor Robbio. They all came here. Happy anniversary to Pastor Rob and Almina. Amen. Come on, appreciate them. They're still married, though they're not sitting together. Amen. And a few of us are here. We have Pastor Lillian and Maya. Please appreciate them. We got Shan right there on the other side. We got, is it Tanya? Tanya is here. Is that Tanya? Who else is here? Oh, Edith. Edith is here. Amen. Come on, appreciate whatever guys who are here. Well, Gregor, that was awesome. Really good. Wonderful word and beautiful worship. Really powerful. May God bless you, Talia. I just want to declare to you, Talia, when you were singing, I saw a butterfly. And I see that God's transitioning you, transforming and transitioning you. Where's Talia? I just declare that over Talia in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray for her. Lord, I just declare over Talia. If she's here, let her come. I just saw that. I see that there's a butterfly. And yeah, there she is. There she is. Yeah. So Talia, I just saw you singing, but I saw a butterfly. And God is transitioning, transforming you. But I also saw something in the spirit. I saw not a teacher, but having school. So God's going to equip you, empower you to have school. The creative space God's opened for you, not just for Australia, but the nations. I see there's a transformation. It's already happening. It's already happening. You know, when a butterfly changes, a butterfly is a sign of hope. A butterfly, anytime there's butterfly, it means good things. Is that right? So God is metamorphosizing, changing, transforming you, and you will establish schools. You know, many people look to be employed to be teachers and all that, but you, God's given you something. There's a double honor. There's a double portion of God's grace over your life. And the schools will begin to move online and all that, the space. And that's going to open a creative world space that the average four-wall church believers may not understand. The marketplace grace and anointing. And that's going to open doors not just here in Australia, but also across the nations. In America, North America, Central America. And you're able to articulate the creativity nature of God in that space. And I see God opening doors. And there'll be open doors even to speak in media and open doors even to minister into other countries, third world countries, through the creative space. There'll be a new sign, new language, new vocabulary that is going to come through you. I see hashtag something that will begin to trend from you. And when we prophesy, sometimes we think it's going to be 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I see it's going to be a quick work because there's an acceleration that is happening. Middle child. I've got a middle child too, so I know middle children. But God is giving you so much grace and there's going to be so much ease, so much simplicity because God's calling you not just on the pulpit, but outside there. And it's going to be so powerful. There's going to be attraction, influence into every area, into the youth, into the young people, into the old people. Whatever God's going to give you to create is going to be accepted by multi-generations, multicultural, in different nations, different language, media, sitting down, discussing, being interviewed, creating small peace. But a school, I see a school, Pastor Paul. And so I just declare over you in the mighty, mighty, mighty name, in the name of Jesus. Double honor, double portion. Such a confidence, such a bravery, such courage. My goodness. Father, I give you thank you for this wonderful, wonderful daughter of the house. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. James, I was sitting with you, and as we were praying, I saw it's like a dark room. You've been in a place of a dark room. But it's like in the dark room, there was an aisle. You, James. See, James? Yeah, James, come. But I see, you see how they switch off the lights on the plane? And the walkway, the lights light up. Just come. So I see there's a walkway. God is opening new things. You're coming out stronger. I see like a path. You see the walkway, the way you see, there's some places you go, it's like walkway in the dark. Do you guys know that what I'm talking about? You catching my accent? So James, there's a walkway that's coming out. It's a dark place. He's been in a dark place and haunting, sometimes almost a place of death, because I could smell death. I could smell sulfur. I could smell that. But in that, God has given you a chance. There's a rewiring. There is a resetting that is happening. Even as I'm holding your hand right now, there are things the Lord is breaking, losing. I see there's a time there was like a image of something very scary. You've had those scary moments, really scary. But God is setting you free. I see a light, like a walkway, but it's light shine, like neon, those lights that lead the way. And these are resetting, there is a relaunching, there is a rewiring, redoing that God is doing. There are things you've tried to break free, you cannot do it because it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Lord, I thank you. You're a God of second chances. Masedeba kusada zadesh tedebe shadaba. Lord, I just come against the spirit of oppression. I come against every spirit of discouragement, oppressive spirit. There is a welcome back, welcome party. I see angels. I see God. There's a rejoicing because a welcome party. There's a voice that keeps telling you, what is this on about? There's still that taunting voice. I silence it in the mighty name of Jesus. Shandabo kasakada redebo. Watch out for this man. Watch out. Watch out. I tell you. I was that guy. I was in the streets. I was that guy. No one gave me hope and a chance. James, get ready. Zadebo shada zagida ledebo. I release an anointing of the Holy Ghost over James in the name of Jesus. You are loved. You are accepted in the house of God again. The God we serve is a God of again. We are born again. Jesus will come back again. In Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Somebody, I see somebody signing contracts. So as you're worshiping here, I saw contracts being signed when Pastor Tanya was declaring. I saw contracts being signed of houses, of homes. Masere bokasha. My God, I see signing. There's pending projects. You've been waiting to do a project. It's been for a while. My goodness, I've been waiting. You've been waiting. I see them being approved in Jesus' name. Somebody, you've applied for a loan. You applied for mortgage money, and you've been frustrated because it's taken too long. I release it in the spirit. Every pending miracle be released. Come on, in the name of Jesus. I lose scholarships. I lose business concepts in the name of Jesus. Restaurants, coffee shops, I release them now. Come on, in Jesus' name. Let's go to the word, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 3. My goodness. Those of you who've come to Malaysia with us, you know when we come back from Malaysia, we're coming back different. Isn't it? And I think, you know, I just allow me to flow. I am home. Amen. I am home. This is home for us. Genesis 15, 1 to 3. If you're there, say amen. Amen. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? Indeed, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Father, we thank you for the reading of the word. Thank you. Pray for the spirit of receptivity and revelation. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Life is a journey. The faith we have is a journey. It's not a sprint. I was born and raised in Africa, as you're aware, as you know. We're not really good at short races. We are good at long distance, especially in Kenya. So those guys that run those races, They are very slim. They eat different because their mindset is long. Are you with me? The church, the faith we have is not a sprint. It's a journey. It's a marathon. And in that marathon, you will always going to get frustrated. If you talk to the nurses who are here, Pastor Almin is a nurse, the doctors who are here, they'll tell you. Anytime you go to their hospital and you see a straight line, it means that person is dead. He's gone. So all you see is up and down. Is that right? Please talk back to me. Is that right? Up and down means what? All good made, is it? It means all good made. So life is about ups and downs. Ups and downs. Ups and downs. And for the ladies who are here who are mothers, you understand when you are in the push. They tell you in between the pushing, you need to learn how to take deep breaths. Breathe in and breathe out. Take a deep breath and breathe out because that's life. Real quick notes, if I can give you some real quick pointers. When you go through ups and downs, these are people you should not talk to. Number one, never talk to the people who are discouraged or people who are giving up hope in life. Never share your problems. When you're in those down and up moments, never share. In those stormy times, never share your struggles with somebody who is already given up. Why? Why? Because misery does what? Loves company, right? So never share. 9 people should not talk to when you're going through. Never share. Or share your problems with a person who's given up. They'll tell you, marriage doesn't work. Ugh. Number 2. Don't share with a prayerless person. Anybody who does not pray, their worldview is different. Are you with me? Never share your problems with a person who does not pray. Number 3, a person who does not read the Word of God. A wordless. Wordless. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Number 1 is what? Giving up. Number 2? Prayerless. Number 3? Number 4, never share with a gossiper. As soon as you say amen, they will be out. Okay? Are you with me? Never share with who? Number 5, this one you don't share with. You ready? Never share with your ex. If you're married, now don't go back to your ex. And share your problems. Are you with me? Number 6, are you ready for this one? Don't put on Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg. Never share your problems on Facebook. Are you with me? They'll tell you there. Pastor Paul, you say there. You feel nice. Thumbs up, likes. But guess what? As soon as you finish, they'll be talking about your problems. Are you with me? The people you should talk to, number 1, turn to God in prayer. Every time you go through problems, learn to lock yourself in the room and say, Lord, deal with this. Deal with this mountain. Number 2, learn to worship. Worship is a practice. I'm telling you, my goodness. There's an atmosphere that comes when you learn to worship God. Oh, yes. Learn to worship God in your car. Learn to worship God in your living room. Learn to switch off everything. Get out of Netflix. Get out of TV. And just be there. Just wait on God. My goodness. Oh, yes. Number 3, church. Come to church. Come to church. The devil isolates. Anytime in Africa, when an animal wants to be killed, isolate the animal. When you're isolated, that's when the enemy will come at you. Number 4 is family. 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 Always. Doesn't matter how bad your dad is or your mom. Go back to them. Say, excuse me. Sort things out. Have a committee meeting with yourself and your wife and your husband and your family. Talk things out. Hello? Talk things out. Don't bottle things in. Talk. Hello? Talk. Better you fight. Talk. Come on, talk. It's good for sometimes the kids to see you fight because kids know, okay, mom and dad can fight. Oh, yeah. If Pope was going to get married, Pope will be fighting too. They learn from there. Are you with me? Oh, you guys don't fight. Number five, spiritual friends. Hey, call a friend. Go for coffees. Go for teas. Go for movies. Are you with me? Go out for a walk. Go play tennis. Huh? There are two people here. We don't play tennis with them. So always talk. There's ups and downs. Ups and downs. Let's get to the text. He's a man, he's called Morris Rosenberg. He was the originator of the concept of self-image. He wrote a book in 1965. It's called The Adolescent of Self-Image. So he came up with a formula which is called self-esteem killer. Please stay with me. Self-esteem killer. It means that, see how I see myself. Self-image is about how does Newton see himself. So he came up with a combination of factors that influence self-esteem. Number one is the objective factor. The objective factors are my height, my complexion, how big is my head, my bank account, where do I live, my physical address, my level of education, you know, how tall I am, how short I am, you know, my teeth, my skin. So those things are called objective factors. Number two, he had something called subjective factors. Subjective factors is, it's actually my own assessment on how I interpret the objective facts. Are you still with me? Okay. So the objective facts are my height, where you live, where you went to school, how big is your bank account. So those things actually influence your self-image. So, but then the subjective factors is my Newton's assessment, Newton's interpretation of the objective factors. So what does it mean? It means what I think about, how do I think about how people see me affects my self-image. Psalm 23, is it Psalm Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinketh, are you with me? So is he. Because Numbers chapter 13 gives us a story of the children of Israel who were 400 years in bondage, 400 years under slavery, 400 years of abuse, 400 years of oppression, 400 years of being called, you are nothing, you are useless, you're good for nothing. And then God says, go and possess the land. They had problems because their self-image has already been dented. So God says, send the 12 spies. The 12 spies go, and two of them came back with a negative, positive report. But interestingly, the 10 other spies, their assessment of the land revealed their interpretation of their self-image. They say, yes, the land is nice. The land has got milk and honey. The land is good, but there are giants in the land. We are too small. We are like grasshoppers. As a man thinketh, so is he. So how I see myself has a way of affecting my environment. Are you still with me? How I see myself has got a way of affecting my circumstances. Therefore, God is more concerned in transforming me to see myself different. So God is more concerned in me. Are you with me? The man in the mirror. God is more concerned in transforming how I see myself than giving me a Tesla. God is more concerned on how Newton sees himself than having a big house in Hope Island. God is more concerned in transforming how I see myself than transforming my environment, because how I see myself affects the environment around me. The reason why some people have missed their blessing is because of their self-image. The reason why sometimes we missed on the breakthrough is because we saw the giants too big and we are too small and we missed our blessings. Can I preach now for 2 seconds? How many blessings have I missed because I looked down on myself? How much money have I lost over the years because of my negative self-image? How many friends, how many pastors, how many friends have I lost along the way because of my self-image? How many opportunities have I missed in my life because of negative self-image? How much time have I wasted in my life because of having a low self-esteem? How many people have I changed and made them to be millionaires and giants because I saw myself, I cannot be a businessman, I cannot heal the sick. So let somebody else take my position. I say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. How many people have come through? We've taken them to Malaysia and back, and they've come back and turned against us and said, no. I said, no, God, I believe in myself now. Enough of allowing anyone to use me as a doormat. No, enough. I believe in myself. It's my season, my time. Come on, somebody. This is so heavy that Jesus in Matthew 8, Pastor Tanya was reading Matthew 7. Matthew 8, Jesus comes in the boat and he's in the boat and he says, why are you waking me up? He says, you guys don't know I'm asleep because they had the storm coming and they woke Jesus up. He said, why? You people of little faith. Why was Jesus asking them questions? Anytime a dad asks you here and says, hey, have you made your bed? Have you cleaned the toilet? Have you brushed your teeth? When a mom or dad asks you that, it's because there's an expectation. Hello? So Jesus was asking them a question because he expected them to command the storm to go. The reason why Jesus dealt with that one is because a few chapters before, building up to that particular story, there was a woman. There was, number one, a man who was a leper. He was beaten down by leprosy. His self-image was so down. And this is what he said, if you can heal me. If you can, why? Because this man's self-image was so small, leprosy had beaten him down. Life had beaten him down. So all he can say, if you can heal me. And the next one was a story of the centurion. The centurion says, send a word. Different people, one person, the way they pray is different. Can I say somebody here? Your self-image affects how you pray. How you see yourself affects how you pray. I came to a conclusion that your self-image affects your faith in God. How you pray. The centurion said, no. Send a word. And the next was the woman of Syrophoenician woman. This is what she said. She said this. She says, can you give us the bread? And Jesus says, no. The bread is not for the children. Bread is for the children, not for the dogs. And she wasn't offended. Come on, Christians. She wasn't offended. What did she say? She said, even dogs can eat the crumbs. Jesus, at that moment, there was a pause. He said, Father, let me break the law a little bit. Why? I know the Gentiles. This is not the time for the Gentiles. The Gentiles, my plan, the plan of heaven, is for Jesus to go on the cross so that the Gentiles can be reached after. And Jesus says, this is just on credit. This woman has got stubborn faith. You say, just for the sake of this woman, she's got stubborn faith. God, on my credit, let her daughter be healed. I need some stubborn faith believers in the house. Oh, for us to see miracles, for us to see revival again in Australia, we need some stubborn faith believers. Said, even the dogs can eat the crumbs from the master's table. So self-image affects how you pray, affects how your faith is. So Jesus says, he saved us so that we can have an image that is different. We can see ourselves. See, the problem is not the devil. The problem is the man in the mirror. Bishop Wayne Brown, the man in the mirror. If I can do Michael Jackson moonwalk, go back in time. I wouldn't do it here. See, they say, the problem is a man in the mirror. We blame church. We blame the government. We blame education. We blame pastors. We blame. But the problem is not them. The problem is the man in the mirror. As a man thinketh, so is he. So instead of receiving blessings, so Abraham is there. Abraham is waiting. Let me go to the text. 5 more minutes. Abraham is there waiting. At that time in Genesis 15, God had already spoken to Abraham 4 times. The first time, Abraham said nothing. The second time, Abraham said nothing. Third time, Abraham said nothing. The fourth time, God comes and says, I've come to give you a child. What does he do? He complains. How would it be? God wants to bless you, and your response is complaining. He says, winter is too cold. Summer is too hot. The shopping malls. Have you heard those guys? They'll complain everything. The music is too loud. Coffee's out too cold. Not in Live City. I'm gonna leave. Edit, delete, go. The traffic is, the sun is too hot. Come on, wake up. So Abraham is getting discouraged. I'm closing now. Abraham is getting discouraged and frustrated. Why? Between, I think, Haran to that place, it was 10 years of waiting. 10 years, God hadn't given him a child. 10 years, the promise was never fulfilled. This morning, you are here a woman of faith. You are here a mother, a child of God. You've been waiting 10 years. Say, God, I have this too much. I've been giving in the house of God. Nothing has been happening. I've been waiting on you over. Nothing is happening. I've received prophetic words. Nothing is happening. I've been waiting. My healing hasn't come. My child hasn't come back home. My house hasn't been built yet. I've been waiting. Where are the promises of God? I came all the way to declare to somebody here, oh, do not give up. Though weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. There's a blessing that is on Ruth. Anytime Ruth hangs out with Naomi, there's a blessing that comes on her. You know why? These are the blessing of the people that tarry. They tarry with you in good times, in bad times. Oprah is dead. So and so is dead. And all the sons are dead. But Ruth hangs with Naomi. And because of the blessing of tarrying, there's a special blessing that comes for those who stay in the house. When the house is going through a storm, you're still there. Oh, when there is accusation, you're still there. It's called the blessing of Ruth. Oh, when Ruth hang with Naomi in the hard time. Oh, Boaz was lining up. There's a genealogy that is coming. I declare to somebody here, you've gone through times that are tough in the house of God. You've still been serving. I release the blessing of Ruth. Generational. What happens? I close. It's what happens. He says, he was discouraged. And he says, I've been waiting for too long. You see what God did to him? He says, Abram, as I close, he says, Abram, come out of the house. Why? Because the world gives you their vision of you is based on time. Please be with me. The vision of the world on you, the image of the world on you is based on time. Are you with me? Very important. It's based on time. Look at you. You are 60. You are 50. You haven't done nothing. Because their image in that house was on time. You getting it? It's on time. But what does he say? Abraham, come out! I want to change your image. He said, look up the sky. For too long you've been looking in, but I want you to come out. The problem is not this, the problem is get out. Once you get out of there, put on my glasses. My glasses has got 2 lenses. One is called Alpha, and the other one is called Omega. Kashata. I look at David. You are seeing a heart's boy, but I'm seeing the future king of Israel.
I look at Joseph. I'm looking. You're looking at somebody who is messed up in the pit. But I'm seeing the next preacher that is going to fill stadium. Ah. Put on my glasses. Ah. I wish you should have seen the photos of Pastor Paul before he married Pastor Ty. I saw them here. I wish you could have seen my photos. You say, how did Lillian pick this one? Ah. Some of you, turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor you're looking at a miracle. Ah, never write anyone off. Never write Life City off. Come on. Never write yourself off. Never write yourself off. I am in the plan of God. I may be going through a bad season, but don't define me by my bad season. My good season is coming. I may be going through a wilderness. Don't allow circumstances to define you by a bad season. All seasons come and seasons go. Do yourself a favor. Put on those glasses and see yourself through the lens of eternity. When God sees you, he sees the next inventor. When God looks at you, he looks at the next man that's going to own a shop. He's going to own a house. When God sees you, he sees a millionaire. When God sees you, he sees the next preacher, the next revivalist. When God sees you through the lens of eternity, he doesn't see just a black man. He doesn't see just a white man. He sees a child of the Most High God. He sees a nightmare to the devil. He sees a devil chaser. Oh, he sees a miracle worker. When God sees you through the lens of time, Louisiana is waiting for you. Tennessee hasn't had you yet. Taiwan has not had your message yet. Don't write yourself up. Come on. Inside you, you are pregnant with books. You are pregnant with a message. You are pregnant with something that is greater. You are loaded with potential. Don't allow the people that leave you to define you because of rejection. No, you are good. The fastest car in the world does not have four seats. It's got two seats. The lesser you are, the better. Kashanaba. You see, sometimes we get, oh my goodness, I think I failed. No, you have not. I came to preach to you. You are God. Something great in the inside of you. Are you with me? Please, let's all be up on our feet. Let's have the muses. Amen. I'm going to be praying that God is going to shift. I saw some people, you just in a place of depression. We're going to be praying for you right now. Actually, just come forward as we sing the song and allow Pastor Paul. We're just going to close the service at 11 African time. Okay, we're going to sing the song, okay? And then I'll get you to move forward, move back, move the seats back, and then move forward. We're going to pray and release something here, very strong. You watch what's going to happen. Watch, 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 watch. So we're going to sing the song. As we sing,